Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, legalizing prostitution in South Africa. A police commissioner there has actually proposed this idea in advance of the World Cup soccer tournament. But what do sex workers themselves think of this? We'll let you know. But first, as the U.S. considers its withdrawal from Iraq, a key concern is how to establish peace in an area increasingly mired in ethnic and religious conflict. One organization, based neither in the U.S. nor Iraq, thinks it has an approach that might work. Intercom is a community-based group based in Belfast. Its work there helped end more than 30 years of sectarian violence in Northern Ireland. And now it wants to bring people together in other areas of the world that have endured years of cultural and political strife. Liam Mosky is the executive director of Intercom. He joins us from NPR's New York Bureau. Welcome.
Hello. Thanks very much.
And thanks for speaking with us. How do you get started on something like this? Because when you think of a place that has had an ongoing conflict, it's the kind of thing where people on the outside kind of throw up their hands and say, you know what, this place gives me a headache. Where do you even start when you feel that the two sides are so hardened in their views of each other, they really have no constructive engagement, and really their only contact with each other is through violence? So how do you even start to intervene in a cycle like that?
It's a very good point, because for years we have been told that Northern Ireland problem, the Irish issue, is unresolvable. When you tell someone, or you listen often enough to someone telling you that your problem is unresolvable, you start to believe that yourself. And sadly, we did believe that. But as time went on, we actually, thankfully, we were able to find people who had the courage, the conviction to stand up within their own community and take a gamble. The guy that I started to work with, I would be from the United Irish community, Catholic community. He was from the Loyalist Protestant community, a guy called Billy Mitchell, who sadly passed away last year. And we actually just says, is there anything that we can do to try and address, to stop the killings at a local level, play a part to trying to get people to look at our problems? Can we make a difference? There was no script, there was nothing to work from, but we really just took a chance to meet.
What are some of the things that you did?
Well, first of all, we looked at some young adolescents from 15 to 17 years of age, and we looked to see were they even ready to look at the guys from the other side of the fence. We took them on a sailing boat that they had to sail to Scotland. So if they didn't work, then the boat didn't sail, or went round in circles, or the bunks weren't made or whatever. And these kids worked very well. So it gave us great inspiration and hope to say that these are the kids who would be the cannon fodder for conflict. In other words, they would become the combatants if things continued. And if these kids were ready to look at each other in a new light and a fresh approach, it'd give us hope. And then we approached the various paramilitary organisations to see were they ready to work with some of these young people.
One of the issues in Iraq, it strikes me, is that there are militants there who are making it their business to make it very dangerous for anybody to even attempt to work with somebody across the other side. I mean, they're going out of their way to target people who work with either the Americans or the British for assassination. How do you even approach people to create these kinds of partnerships when there are forces there who will kill you?
Yeah. Well, it's a very real question, because that's actually, believe it or not, the norm. It's not just an Iraqi thing. I mean, even myself had four different attempts on my life for doing the work that I was doing. So it is actually the norm that when people have their interest, whether it's a political or other interest in keeping the conflict alive, they don't want anyone to try and break that cycle of you know, because for their own aims or whatever that may be. The issue is there are always some people who are prepared to take a step over that line. Thankfully, we have had three representations from Iraqi civil society people, and they are prepared to take those necessary steps. Like our own conflict situation, at the start, you could count on one hand the number of people who would literally go out and take that bold step and the courageous step. But now, back home, things have paid off. There are hundreds of people now working on conflict resolution issues. Sometimes it's not as hard as we think, because if we don't take any steps, then the conflict continues anyway.
Have you already been to Iraq, or are those plans in place?
Not yet. To be quite blunt about it, I'm actually quite frightened to go to Iraq. I am going to go to Iraq, but I wanted to go after I had enough work with Iraqi civil society people, rather than walking in as a stranger. Because obviously, if you're going to be working at civil society conflict resolution, you're not going to be in the green zone. because that's not what the conflict is. The conflict is outside of the green zone. It's in the villages, it's in the towns.
So what do? You meet outside the country first with designated folks and try to build relationships there before you travel to? How are you proceeding?
Well, the process that we're taking on Iraq at the moment is that we are taking people from north, south and central Iraq. We're bringing them into Belfast, we're letting them meet. They obviously give them an orientation of how the situation was, give them the history of what happened, very, very much practical hands-on, meeting groups who were involved, meeting political leaders, meeting political parties, meeting ex-combatants. What worked in Northern Ireland doesn't mean will happen, will work in Iraq or any other country. But one thing can, that the ethos of conflict resolution can work. And if we show experiences, our experiences in relation to how we got to this place we're at now, then hopefully from the three different parts of Iraq, the people will take those ideas back with them, try and set up initiatives in their vicinities. And the idea is then that I will go out and look at the programs that these guys have set up. If I just say one thing in relation to our situation, I mean, we are now at the end game of our end game. We have a lot of society structures to put in place. There's already a lot of amazing things happening. But we could not have been where we are today. We didn't do it ourselves. We got support from many, many other countries. Obviously, the USA, they were very strong in staying in there when our times were very hard. People told us it couldn't work with American politicians, American, just ordinary people, business people stayed in there, supported. We had support from South Africa. We had support from many other places. If we didn't have that, we would not be in the luxury that we are today in relation to conflict resolution. There is a bit of payback that I believe that we have a responsibility and indeed a massive desire to share those experiences on the international stage, because the world isn't as maybe stable as it was maybe 5-6 years ago.
So this is your way of giving back.
Exactly. And we feel it's very, very important.
Well, will you keep us posted?
We will do, surely, yes. And hopefully see you in Washington shortly.
Hope so. Liam Maskey is the Executive Director of Intercom Ireland, a community organization that wants to promote peace by applying the lessons learned in Northern Ireland. He joined us from NPR's New York Bureau. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thanks very much.